then the chicks can tell. The chicks can tell.
Good morning, everyone. Sunday, September 26, 2010. You're listening to Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. We actually started a minute earlier. I'm going to wait till it's 11 exactly. I'm going to redo that.
This is going to throw a lot of people off.
I know. Oh, no.
Hey.
Hey, everyone.
We are live.
We are live indeed. Jeff, I feel like I'm always the one to introduce everything.
I kind of wait for you to do your thing.
I feel like you should take a stab at it.
I froze. I just had an opportunity. I think I froze. Good morning, Cleveland and...
We're having a rough start this morning. I'm sorry.
That was my big shot at an intro.
Okay. It's all, there's music and there's levels and there's all sorts of things.
Sorry, did I blow my chance for an intro?
I think you did.
Well, then you take it. I'm done.
Well, you can go. You know, we're both
tired.
That's
too late.
That's the problem.
We're tired.
We're both. I had one of those days I could not fall asleep last night.
Were you thinking about the radio show this
I was
morning?
Thinking about the radio show. Here's what I was thinking about. Well, I was thinking about the radio show and I was thinking about vampires. And I could not, I really didn't fall asleep till about 4. And then I got up at 9.
Were you trying to protect?
I got up at 9, unlike some other hosts on this radio show.
Were you trying to protect the radio show from vampires?
No, see, I was out last night, and then before going to bed, I sometimes listen to audiobooks on my iPhone.
Oh, wow.
And so I've been listening to Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Okay.
On Audible. And so just listening to that, you know, and when you're, especially when you're like going to sleep and you have the headphones in and you're like listening, like you can get really into it. And then my thoughts are just occupied by vampires and the radio show.
Wow. That sounds horrible. That sounds horrible.
It was a really bad experience. So I don't know. It was one of those things that I couldn't fall asleep. But so then I get up this morning and I got the medium star or whatever medium is at Starbucks.
Grande, venti, mocha,
I think it's grande. I got their anniversary blend, and I did a shot of espresso in it.
Just to fight off the vampires.
Just to fight off the vampires. And garlic. Garlic powder.
You have a garlic necklace on. People can't see. Jeremy's got a thing of garlic around his necklace, and I think it's working because I've seen no spirits or vampires around you.
Spirits? That's a different thing.
Can we talk about that maybe next week?
Let's have it.
Because I have a fear of spirits.
You mean like alcohol? Like
spirits,
like
alcohol? I have a fear of going out and having a good time. It's a real problem.
Why are you tired, Jeff?
Jeremy.
Tell the audience.
Oh, Jeremy, I'm tired because I missed the show last week not being on the internet. I want to go to radioshowonline.com, see a show from Jeff and Jeremy every Sunday.
Right.
This whole week, even though we attempted to do a show and I was there live, it was not on the website, and it sort of bothered me. So that led to sleeplessness.
Yeah, well... Okay, so here's what happened. So last week we did Cleveland Browns home opener, and against all odds, we did the show live, sort of. We did the show live.
We did.
We did the show live.
We did.
But there was some technical difficulties, and then I was about to post it, and I get all these text messages from Jeff. Hey, maybe we shouldn't post the show. Maybe we shouldn't, you know, because we've created a very high standard for ourselves. And when you go out, when you try to deviate from that standard, there's some risk there.
Yeah, we left the safety of the Tremont attic.
Right.
Security, it's like our crib. You know, we're like an infant child. This is our crib. Everything's safe in these
four
walls.
Meant like an MTV crib.
Oh, no, I'm not cool enough to think that.
Right.
No, I mean like a crib, like a baby's crib. You know, it's very comfortable. We have things in the ceiling to look at.
Right.
You know, it's really like a mobile. Is it a mobile? Is that what they have?
Oh, yeah,
cribs?
Yeah, yeah. Mobile. A mobile.
But, yeah, it was a little disconcerting to be in that environment where a lot of things could happen at any moment. There was Bernie Kosar's interview didn't go so well, I didn't think.
Horrible. But... we listened and we weren't sure about the quality yet, so we listened to the show. Now it's only about half an hour long because
right.
We didn't go the whole time. The audio quality, it's not the highly polished produced thing you would expect.
And people want to hear our voices crisp and clear.
Right. So it's going to be a little raw, but there's been a lot of demand for it because when you hide something from someone, then they want it.
So why don't we sell it?
We should. That should be the premium one.
So
that
be the yep, one that we it's going to be $5.99 listeners, and I think you're gonna, it's going to be a lot of there's going to be an unedited version. Can we do like an outtake version with that?
Yeah.
Maybe do a commentary over the show, so right. It's like two shows.
Right.
$5.99, people, get out those credit cards.
It could all be yours. So what about you, Jeff? Why were you tired? Did we ever talk about this?
I don't think we did, but I think the proverbial alcohol was a factor.
Yeah. It
was definitely a factor.
That's never a beneficial
thing. Ingenuity Fest. I don't know if we can get right into the weekend.
Let's do it. Let's go weekend recap.
This Ingenuity Fest is really unbelievable. I used to think science was for nerds. How do you feel about that? Are you watching these two wrestle?
Well, see, here's the thing. That's the other route.
All right, the TV's going off.
So we have the TV, but I kind of
that's
like
a cat
it.
Fight.
So, We're watching headline news.
If it's a mom accused of egging on daughter's fight. What does that mean, egging?
If you're listening live, if it's 5 minutes after the hour on Sunday, September 26th, you can turn on headline news as well, and kind of watch as we commentate on the news. Do people do that? Is that a thing?
Well, I think
it off.
We just shut it off because okay. I need your full attention.
All right, full attention. So here we go. Used to think that art.
Science was for nerds.
Science for nerds.
Like people like you.
Okay.
But now I've come to realize that actually science is cool.
Okay.
So you're cool by association. I didn't even realize that.
I appreciate that.
All along, you've been cool. Yeah. But this Ingenuity Fest was downtown. It was under the Detroit Superior Bridge. It used the old subway, and you got to fill in the blanks here for me. But I believe there was Cleveland at one point. It started a subway system, or?
Well, it wasn't a, they were more trolleys.
But they were underground.
Partially
underground.
So what would happen is, going around Public Square, there was tracks embedded into the street, and they were above the ground trolleys, a la like San Francisco would have.
Without the hills.
Without the hilliness, right. So they would cruise around there, and then when they would go towards the west side of town, they would, when the Detroit Superior Bridge was built, they would dip under to a lower level.
Okay.
So car traffic was going on the top, trolleys would go underneath, and then when they got to the corner of West 25th and Superior, they would diverge. So one track would go up West 25th and would pop up, uh-huh. And then the other one would go farther down Detroit and pop up a little bit farther down Detroit. That's why Detroit is so wide right there, because the trolley, the cars would pop up right around there.
Okay.
But anyway, sense.
But
go
yeah,
ahead.
So that was, what a cool venue, though, for this Ingenuity Fest.
Yeah.
Now, I got to say, I didn't really learn a lot about, you know, hands-on, like, formulas, scientific formulas. I did see a guy juggling knives and chainsaws.
Had you been under the bridge before?
Never been there before. Okay. So it's really, this bridge was lit up. They put in a waterfall about halfway through this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a unbelievable setting for this thing. Just, I could have walked around the bridge just noticing the lights and the waterfalls and the special effects that they did without even the Ingenuity part of it. It would have been a cool night.
It's still going on today until 5. Yeah. So you won't have the night stuff, but if you haven't, just to see the space. I mean, I think that's the, because it's an area that is very rarely, they do some tours throughout the year, but for the most part, it is not open to the public.
Right.
So just to be able to go under there and kind of experience all that, it's kind of like a surreal thing. If someone was high, they should not go under there because they probably would have freaked out.
Well, you're also walking, you can see they put down little sheets of like plywood. As you're walking over this bridge, and you're probably how many feet up? Maybe 60 feet up above a river?
It's tall.
You're up there, so you can look down and see the water. It's really kind of, you're right, surreal is the best way to describe it. But I did see they had a couple bands going on, saw some of the music there. Asterix had a gallery at one end you could walk through, which is cool. But beyond that, I mean, I just was kind of enjoying being around that. But did you see any of the actual hands-on type of exhibits? Did you watch any of the speakers?
You know, they had a, and you had mentioned there was like a one section kind of on the west side of the bridge, you could get out from underneath the bridge, and there was like kind of a carnival area. There was like a bunch of fair food stands.
Yeah, it was like all of a sudden you were at where the guess your weight. You know, it didn't really fit in with the whole theme, but it was just this makeshift carnival was on this one area to the side. Pretzels, pizza, like anything fried. Right. But it just didn't really fit in with the whole cool vibe of the rest of it.
But they did have something over there where it was a... how can I explain this? It was... I don't even know how to explain it. It was something that would shoot down water.
Oh,
I
did see that.
Streams of water.
Okay, now that was actually kind of cool. I did see that. Now, you could text a message, and the streams of water would shoot down one letter at a time and spell out the message in water, basically.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It was cooler than we are describing it, because it was cool.
And the messages tend to be like borderline, like a lot of them were pretty crass,
right.
Which was kind of funny. But you could basically spell out a message with the way the water falls It was very clear. That was kind of cool, actually. I did see that.
Kind of like our chat room, how people just like to go to radioshowonline.com and jump in the chat room and just type random curse words.
Now, it'd be hard to get a recipe off that water machine, though. You have to be really, really patient, wouldn't you think?
I love the inside jokes that you have. If you're a regular listener of Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, you're cracking up right now.
Which means you and I are cracking up.
But if you've never tuned in.
Speaking of that, how is that chat room doing, Jeremy? We're all curious. All of us.
Let's check in the chat room.
All of us here.
Oh, this is good radio. My. Oh, it's rocking.
Oh, wow.
The chat rooms are rocking. See what happens when you don't post the podcast. If you skip a week,
you lose everyone. It's like we're starting over.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy to start over, so
it's like our first show.
Good day.
By the way, if you're someone who monitors trends on Twitter, which I am, does that surprise you, Jeff, that I'm that type of person?
That is the least surprising thing I've heard today.
So 50 Cent just about, just about 20 minutes ago, put out a tweet saying, and I quote, "Announcement, I will no longer be using foul language on Twitter. For now on, my tweets are PG-13.
For now on.
But he has, but his Twitter background screen still has, like, guns. So
mixed messages to those, to the youth out there.
He's made this announcement that he's not using foul language, but yeah, background of Twitter has a bunch of guns.
That's so, if you know 50 Cent, that is vintage 50 Cent.
It is very 50.
What is he trying? Yeah, it's so 50.
I don't.
It's so five.
It's so 50. But that's what's trending on Twitter. So now everyone is retweeting this.
Yeah.
It's like the number one thing that people are talking
about. I know that. I know there was a technology out there that you could actually do that.
There's so much technology out there. We're going to talk about some technology later on in the show in our Modern Marvels segment.
Yeah. Modern Marvels. I want Modern Marvels now. Let's do it now.
Ingenuity Fest, though?
Ingenuity Fest. I had a great time. Like I said, I was skeptical going in because I don't like to, on the weekends, I really like to put learning to the side. I like to be as brain dead as possible on the weekends.
Right.
But what a cool area. This guy was juggling knives and a little chainsaw. Did you see him in the middle of the bridge?
No, I didn't see that.
He was juggling knives and chainsaws. I love, you know, daring feats like that. So that really got my attention.
Big fan of daring feats.
And he actually dropped the chainsaw at one point. It got a little rattled and kept going, which was a little scary. People pulled their kids back after that. But he really rolled with it. He was.
If it fell into the river below and like just killed someone on the Good Time 3.
And he just said thank you, and then he walked away. That was my trick.
Yay!
But yeah, great time, and would definitely recommend it, and would do it again. And they had little beer tables set up, which was nice to get some Oktoberfest to really taste the season.
It was chilly. I went last night, and
Friday was warm. That was a good night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I went on the colder night.
Yeah, you did.
But it is getting autumnal, you know. It is, I don't know, it's only like 55 degrees now down at Progressive Field. So it is chilly. It is getting
Are we actually saying, pretending we're at Progressive Field broadcasting?
No, I'm not pretending that, but this, never mind. It's more nerd stuff. That's the temperature.
Let me ask you about foliage. How do you feel about foliage?
I love foliage, but I feel around here it's such a short period that there are not nice leaves.
Yeah.
Like, it goes from green. There's, like, 1 week that's good. But I think, like, with the Metro Parks and stuff, like, it's really, like, Jeff, if you're trying to impress a lady.
Yes.
You should go look at leaves. Like, and maybe get a picnic. Because I know how much you love picnics.
You know what? Picnic season does go until, can you picnic through October?
You can picnic whenever you want. There's no rules. Like, the cops aren't going to pull over.
Is it like wearing white?
Excuse me, sir. Where's your picnic? You know?
Is it like wearing white after Labor Day? It's not like that.
I think you're even allowed to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
I get very scared of people judging me. But no, I would definitely like to go to the Metro Parks. Metro Parks are so underrated. It's unbelievable. But I feel like fall down there does stretch to November.
Yeah. I think the farther south that you go, the longer the leaves will be out. So in answer to your question, yes, big fan of fall.
I love this time of year, I tell you. Right now, this is fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, my weekend this weekend was Jody's birthday. You know Jody, and for people listening, you can hear her shout random things.
She tended to shout the last word of every sentence we said on the air last week.
Right, right. Which would be great if she was here and could do that like live.
Yes. You just hear foliage,
even in the Tremont attic.
Yep,
attic. but anyway, so yeah, it was her birthday this weekend, and so some of us went on Friday to this Whole Foods happy hour. Have you done this yet?
No.
This Whole Foods 5x7 happy hour. So you go to Whole Foods, and this is the one in what is that, University?
It's University Heights.
Yeah. University Heights area. You go there, it's 5x7, they call it, so it's from 5 till 7, Friday nights. You spend $5. And or it's only four if you bring your glass from last week. There's a little money-saving tip from a radio show with Jeff and Jeremy. But you go there, and they have five different samples of like some sort of alcoholic beverage. Like they had a lot of pumpkin beers and ciders and stuff this past Friday. And then like a little food sampling thing. But it's a really good deal. Good turnout. And so, yeah.
You've gone two in a row, though, haven't you? Is this back-to-back Fridays?
Yeah, I think I have done back-to-back Fridays.
You're really
Fridays.
Maximizing that dollar per alcohol.
Exactly. Well, normally I forget my glass. And so normally I end up paying full price and getting another glass. So my cabinets are just stocked with Whole Foods wine glasses.
But that's really quite a deal. I mean, what do you think? What would you estimate the value of that is?
You know, I mean, once you factor in the camaraderie and the experience,
which you can't really put a price on, but in terms of just the alcohol,
It's probably about $7.50.
Oh, so really, isn't that?
No, I don't know. I mean, if you bought them, why do you? Well, that's a complex question.
I really, really stumped you there. I threw you off.
You threw me off. So anyway, after that though, we went to and here's where I never. We went to Northfield Park,
and that's a natural progression.
Right, right. A lot of people after the Whole Foods happy hour, they go down to Northfield Park. America races here.
Every how many minutes?
Every 19 minutes, the place. Well, you know, I was there for about 19 minutes, well over 19 minutes, and the place had not yet gone crazy. but it was a different experience. I mean, you walk in.
It's very sad usually.
Had you been there before?
Oh yeah, I used to have a. Remember that problem I had in the early 90s? That gambling problem.
We weren't friends in the early 90s. We did 80s. We had to skip the 90s. We just skipped the 90s. But yeah, you walk in there and there's a lot of elderly people, I guess you would say.
Yes.
Probably spending their Social Security money.
Yeah, it really is.
And here's the thing. They weren't even, the jockeys weren't even on the horses. They were getting pulled. Like they weren't on the horses. They were getting pulled on wheels behind.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Which is a different kind of, that's the harness race.
Get on the horse. You got to get on the horse.
Got to get on the horse.
I tell you
that
every
Sunday. They're
being
pulled behind the course.
Yes. Oh, no, that's. Forget it. I'm out of there.
So you go there, and then, you know, after a little while, got a little more comfortable and started betting on some horses. You know, you get a program, and they run a live race, and then they have, like, the TV showing the simulcast racing so you can bet on all sorts of stuff. And it definitely, you know, definitely was an experience. But I was left wondering, you know, when the casino comes downtown Cleveland, is it going to hurt places like that, do you think? Or if you're into horse racing, I mean, there's not going to be a horse track in downtown Cleveland. So
yeah,
maybe...
no, that's a good question. But I really think some people are just horse racing people.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to do their thing at the horse track. And I think the casinos is a whole different, it attracts a whole different type of people, I think.
Yeah.
You know, people like us, like you went on Joey's birthday, you went there. But normally you may go there once a year. But I feel like you might go to a casino downtown more than once a year.
Correct, especially since I live downtown.
Yeah.
I'll probably go every night.
This could really hurt your future economic. Yeah,
the radio show with Jeff and Jeremy will end by the time the casino opens. Because
so we can go right there. I'll just not be showing up with you because I. Well, yeah, when I got to Vegas, it tends, like I said, that gambling problem in the 90s, it flares up every now and then. But yeah, it's really a sad place though. I found going to those tracks. It's people betting. It seems like everything they have and the smoke. At least before the law was changed, I've been there in years. When you could still smoke in indoor bars, it would be just a smoke-filled mess with older people and just kind of a depressing atmosphere.
Two things I hate, smoke and old people.
I mean, is there anything worse?
No, they have an outside area, though, where there was some cigar smoking.
Yeah.
Cigars and pipes. And it was strange because it seemed like your just normal cigarette was not the
What about like the
choice.
FDR cigarette with the plastic holder?
Did he do that?
Yeah.
Is that why he was in a wheelchair?
That was part of
it. It was the plastic.
The 1920s, you know, it was the whole 1920s thing. But how do you feel about jockeys?
I'm more of a boxer guy.
No, but okay. Wait, did not answer the question. The jockeys that ride the horses. How do you feel about
that?
Jeremy, come
you
on.
Like that?
I like that. That was
come
good.
Come on, that was.
We gotta stay on topic. I'm talking about the
stream of consciousness. Come on, try to keep up, Jeff. I don't know. They seem like nice people, but I guess they're very small people because
they're small.
The smaller you are, the less the horse has to pull you. So that's an advantage, like a wrestler.
That's a huge part of being a jockey,
or not like a wrestler. Is that like
nothing like a wrestler? But it's a huge part of actually. You know, in crew, they've got those things called coxswains or coxswains. I don't know how you say that, but when you're in crew,
you don't know.
That's the end of the boat when you're rowing. They want the lightest, shortest, smallest guy because he's got to basically yell at the commands. But obviously, it's just dead weight. He's literally dead weight.
Did you do crew?
No, you know, I flirted with crew. We exchanged proposals.
Because Ignatius had, you went to Ignatius.
Yeah, they had a big, and so did John Carroll, has a big crew team too. But now I did have a friend, this is a great little segment.
All right.
Was into crew, and they're very cultish, the crew people.
Okay, what do you mean?
They tend to always, like at John Carroll particularly, you had the crew group, and John Carroll was a little clicky to begin with. You had the crew group, and they would just sort of always be together all the time, and they're getting up at 4 a.m, and they're going down to the river when it's cold out to row. It's just kind of a strange, it was cultish. The word keeps coming back is cultish.
Tusky. You do keep going back.
It keeps coming up. Yeah, I don't even want it to, but it does.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're very, what's the word, cultish?
Wow, stop talking. They actually, you know, they do a lot of crew stuff on the river.
Well, that's as opposed to the land?
All right, we're done here. So the Cleveland Rowing Association, though, they just announced they're going to, at the tip of the Columbus Peninsula, right across the river from Hoople's.
Okay.
That area there, the old Commodore Park or whatever it's called, they're going to relocate the Rowing Association there. They're going to have storage for all these boats. So all the different teams, colleges and high schools that do the crew stuff are all going to congregate there, and they're going to have some space open for public use as well. They're going to eventually do kayak rentals and that kind of thing. So it'll be cool. It'll be a little more river access than we typically have here.
Do you follow the Rowing Association?
Well, I see them right out my window because our balcony like looks over the river, and I mean, there'll be some mornings like I'll be waking up and going to work, and I'll hear these I'll hear the shouting. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And it's the people like on the boat yelling at the
like
other...
5 a.m. though.
Oh, it's yeah.
Oh,
early.
That's horrible.
I mean, you see people. Well, so the people are out there sometimes at 5, but the teams are more like around 7 or something.
Yeah, it's you got to be a little off to get up that early and do that, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I've been getting pretty good about riding my bike though, at like about 6 a.m.
Really?
Yeah. I do like 10 miles a morning.
Where do you go?
I've gone down, like from my place, then down Euclid to like Case.
Oh, you go all the way down, kind of to the corridor, back and forth.
Yeah, or then I'll go the other way. I'll go down Detroit through like Edgewater and kind of.
Oh, I know. Now, what are you gonna do in the winter though? You do you have like an indoor stationary thing, or that's gonna be tough?
No,
you're gonna do it anyway.
You've seen my place. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I mean, I probably just do the gym.
That is a great thing to do. See, I could do bike riding more than I could do like a 3 mile run. I'd be more inclined to do a bike ride like that.
Yeah, it is the kind of thing where, and it depends like your reasons for doing it, but it's definitely easier to slack off on the bike because you can just kind of
coast. Yeah,
I mean, if you really want to get a good workout, you have to like when you're on like a light flat road, you got to throw your gears into like high gear, so you're really working it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it's fun. The scenery's better. You can actually go farther. I mean, you can do 10 miles in an hour, so you can see a lot more.
Yeah.
All right.
Winking Lizard.
We've covered. Yeah, so after Northfield Park, Winking Lizard.
But I saw on Forest Square you went there. Now, you went to the one that's down south, right? The one
by Northfield Park.
Okay, well, there's also one down in, like, I thought you went to the one. You know the one, like, south of Brecksville in the Metro Parks is Winking Lizard? Do you ever go to that
I
one?
I think, yeah, Peninsula.
The Peninsula. Oh, I thought maybe that's where you were. I was okay. But you went to the one then. That's kind of
Right by Northfield.
One. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, by that time, I had, you know, lost some money on the horses and had a couple beverages, so I don't really remember a lot. Although I do remember, like, this is kind of odd. So we're at Winking Lizard, and we order, like, a, you know, an appetizer of, like, the cheese bread, cheesy bread, whatever they call it. And the waitress is like, would you like extra cheese on that? Because they don't put a lot of cheese on it, she says. Would you like extra cheese on that? To which I say, yeah. I mean, what?
Yeah,
how could
course.
You not want it? You know, well, that's a stupid question. So then we get the bill. It was 70 cents for the extra cheese.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, what?
Yeah.
That's weird. Like, talk about a nickel and dime situation. I think if they offer you something, like, that I didn't know was there and it's extra, they should let you know.
Yeah, that's pretty strange.
Or else they should bump up the cost. I mean, it's like extra cheese is $10 and you just tell all your waitresses.
But it's like a block of cheese on there.
Do you want the super amount of cheese?
You'll never work your way through it. That is what, that's
you'll
more of my
alley. You'll be in the bathroom. So then, last night, you know, just another party. Did the more suburban thing all the way out to 87 West in Chagrin Falls.
Like Chagrin Falls, great area. Particularly, talk about foliage, talk about Chagrin Falls, talk about waterfalls. Don't they have a waterfall out there?
They do. Hence, that's hence the Chagrin Falls.
Actually, they have
name.
Several waterfalls.
Do they?
Yeah, they're all together. But no, that'd be a great place to go on a foliage drive.
I try not to go chasing waterfalls. I just stick to the rivers and lakes that I'm used to.
I feel like I've heard that somewhere.
Anyway, moving on. So what else we got going on today? I was looking, you know, they got more stuff, and we won't talk about this too much because we talk about it every show, I feel. But more, since it's on the front page of the Plain Dealer, more stories about the warehouse district going downhill.
I've not seen on a front page story now.
That's... I think it's overblown. I think that, yes, there's clubs down there, and yes, there's issues. Bless you.
Allergies.
Yeah. You're allergic
to...
There's
a lot of cats in this.
You're allergic to our success.
Yes.
So yeah, the warehouse district a little more rowdy and stuff. But they say things like, you know, people are moving out, and they gave some examples of restaurants closing earlier. I don't know. I have a condo down there that I rent out to a guy. My tenant, I haven't spoken specifically to him about it, but we've talked. I mean, he hasn't brought up anything.
Should be like, don't you hate it here? You should call him
up. Don't you hate it here? Don't you want to try to get out of your
Did
lease?
You hear that this whole area is going downhill? What do you think about that?
Because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It does, and that is true. Everyone's leaving. They start saying everyone's leaving, and then people start panicking. I panic. I'm upset. I'm even near it. I'm getting upset. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, but I think there's some talk, you know, people are worried it's going to go the way of the flats, and I think that there's just so many differences. Like, the flats, first of all, lots of the buildings and the infrastructure was just crappy, and it was, in the flats, it was a bunch of one-story buildings that was only the entertainment.
Crack houses.
So when the entertainment went down, that's all there was.
Yeah.
But in the warehouse district, there's more of a mixture of residential, there's more of a mixture of offices, as well as, so it becomes more of a 24/7.
We need an area for just for like underage drinking and drug use and clubs and just like quarantine it somewhere. You know what I mean?
Like a red light district.
Like what about we take a shuttle out to like somewhere just outside of the city? Or
Bay Village.
Yeah. Bay Village. And you know how Bay Village is. They would embrace that. They're always open to change and new things like that. But you almost, if we could just isolate this club crowd that likes to, you know, drink underage and OD and things like that, and get them. It's this element that keeps floating around, I feel like, ruining pockets of the city.
Yeah.
I'm afraid, I don't care about anything else but Tremont, but if they come here, that's when I'm really going to write some strongly worded letters.
You should. And you know what? And I think another problem is, it's what no one ever wants to talk about, is the racial undertone, because as soon as you want to arrest somebody that's black, some people are like, well, if we do that, it's going to be racist. Like, that's automatically. And I don't care if you're causing a problem. I don't care what color you are.
Right.
You know, it's just, there should be a color blindness to disruptive behavior. And it shouldn't be, the cops shouldn't be trying to, we just arrested a white guy, so now we have to arrest a black guy to, like, even it out. Like, it's just arrest who's causing problems.
I think there is that inherent thought process by policemen that if they would arrest someone who's not Caucasian, any minority, that I think there is that thought process that, you know, this could really start. So even if this person is clearly violating the law, which is troubling, you're right.
Which then that causes a problem. So then if you are, if you could be like, oh, if you're a minority... I don't know. It's a complex issue.
It is. So. But the area, I think it might be blowing out of proportion, but I think that there are some problems down there.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you know, I still feel like it's an after work happy hour. They've got to get the after work crowd like on a Friday, which I think can, like, Map Room does a good job of that. Like, if you go to the Map Room on a Friday, it's a lot of prosecutors. For some reason, like, a lot of prosecutors down there, a lot of like people like KeyBank, and they get a lot of people going right from work to go get a pizza and have some beers there.
Yeah.
And then, like, because I've done that, then you end up staying around there for the night. And I think they've got to target professionals after work before they go to the suburbs. That's a huge part of keeping that area going.
And then they have to increase the neighborhood residential element, I think, as well.
Yeah, they do.
Like, right now, just from my own experience and talking to people, there is a demand in downtown Cleveland for housing. Specifically single unit rentals. Huh. So if you are a developer, you could put up a 500 unit complex of single unit residentials on one of those parking lots in the warehouse district, and it would be 100% leased within a year.
Well, in general, rentals are just growing even more and more. I just refinanced my house. And to buy a house and to get a mortgage, even to refinance, the hurdles you have to clear are pretty unbelievably spectacular. So people now are just renting more and more because they may not pass these new thresholds they have to get mortgages out. So the rental market is only going to grow, I think, as long as we have these standards in place for loaning people money. So it is a great, I think, man, you got to build more rentals, and that would fill it up. You're right.
So if you have a higher end rental market, you know, $800 or $900 a month for a single unit, then you're going to have more professional people moving downtown or moving to that neighborhood. And then when you live in your neighborhood, you know, you have more of a tendency to go out and use the services within that neighborhood. And that's going to make it more appealing to have those types of things as opposed to just 50 nightclubs.
Yeah, exactly. Which bring in some bad elements. And nightclubs just generally at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., something bad's going to happen probably outside these nightclubs. Nothing good's going to happen because people are still going to be around, they'll probably be drunk, and it just lends itself to crime.
Right. If you watch something like, if you watch MTV and you watch Jersey Shore, it's not a show about all these well-behaved people.
Like going to art, going to going to galleries.
To society.
Yeah, we're going to the art museum today, everyone. I've not seen that episode of Jersey Shore, have you?
Maybe they need to arrest more Italians.
And we'll close out the show on that note.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, 11:30 Sunday morning, we are targeting Italians. This is Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. Jeremy, we got to get to these polls.
I can say that because I know Italians. Okay.
These polls.
That's where we're jumping
to. This piece of paper looks like it's from the 1800s. Would you agree?
Yes.
It was at the tailgate last week.
Right. Because we had so much content last week and technical difficulties that we weren't able to get to it.
Our content cuppeth floweth over. So the polls that we need to talk about.
Now, can you explain where these polls came from?
They came from science.
Okay. So these are polls that you created?
No.
Taking
them from someone
these
else.
These are polls that other people did that we are stealing for our own.
We are going to take these polls that other people worked really hard to, and we're going to share them with our audience.
Okay.
And then we're going to discuss them in a comical way.
Okay. That sounds good. I think that's what we do best.
And go. First poll. Now, many people were surveyed in these polls.
Okay.
I mean, tens of hundreds of people.
Tens of hundreds.
If someone punches your friend, so... Mm-hmm. My friend Jeremy, I'm patting his back.
Right.
Maybe this one's for me. If someone punches my friend...
Did you pat my back for the visual effect?
For the audio, they could hear that.
Okay.
Our mics are very sensitive.
I think you realized halfway through that, we're not on TV.
I think there's a camera in that computer.
People can't hear. There is a camera in this computer. It's a separate story.
We got to get on track. Right. If someone punches your friend, what would you most likely do?
We're on the warehouse district.
We're out clubbing, you know, doing some lines.
We're at Lust. Doing some lines.
Oh, I mean, having some beers at a club in the warehouse district.
We're out at, I think they, not to get back on this, but I think they should maybe have a naming law in the warehouse district. You shouldn't be able to have like clubs named like Lust and Sin and Punch a White Guy. Those are clubs that should not be
misdemeanor,
allowed to exist.
Felony, club. But do you like the idea of club felony?
Club felony.
What about Club 20 to Life? So we're at Club Felony. Having a good time. We just came back from an art museum. We want to recap what we just saw at Club Felony.
Okay.
Someone comes up and just doesn't even introduce themselves to me. They just punch me.
They must have heard the show.
They heard the show.
they said,
Italian.
Hey, are you Jeff from Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy?
I, of course, would deny it three times. cock would crow. Okay, so now what would you do?
Nobody understood that. No, but I got it.
Thank you. Your first reaction. Someone punches your old childhood buddy Jeff.
Old childhood chum.
What do you do? Don't think about it. Reaction.
Run.
I knew that's what you would do.
Well, there's lots of
you would really
there.
Run.
No, there's lots of it. How big is this a group?
No, it's
one,
you and I.
One guy.
We just went to the museum.
So one guy comes up to you and punches.
Yes, and you're next to me.
I would be like, hey. All right, we're still on. I would defend you. I would defend you. Some guy attacked.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. You're fall on the majority.
Oh, that's what the majority says?
Yeah. Oh, were you looking at the
poll? No, I wasn't. I'm not cheating. I'm keeping my eyes forward.
70% of people responded they would fight back. And Jeremy, if someone attacked you, I would instinctively, and I might get crushed myself.
Yeah.
But I would instinctively, see, here's why I went though. Because I have mace on my keychain and I have a taser.
So you would fumble for your keys and waiting for your mace and taser?
I would mace them and then taser them.
You have a taser on your keychain?
No, I have neither. Neither. I am neither of those things. but I would fight back. I think it'd be an instinctive reaction where I don't think I would even think about it. I would just immediately try and restrain the guy, or I would try and get a free blow. I'm always up for a good fight.
You're trying to get a what?
A good punch at him.
Oh.
Wow. The water didn't go down. No, I would try and take a clean swipe at him. Like, it's my one chance to fight where I wouldn't get arrested for it.
Right.
Because he struck you.
Well, you might get arrested still.
I have great lawyers. 13% would find someone else to help. I feel like that might have been your answer. Help! We need help!
Help! Help! We need...
Remember the old CPR?
Yeah.
In high school CPR training? You had to say, Twice to the mannequin dummy on the ground. You had to look at the mannequin in the face and say, not are you okay once. And we would always say it real fast like this. Are you okay? Are you okay? Like, we never gave them a chance to answer the first time.
And if the mannequin actually responded, that's when I would call.
No, I don't have any organs. I'm not okay.
No, I have this creepy blonde hair and my mouth tastes like alcohol.
And you're trying to kiss me. Yeah. So do you remember though, it was always like we had to go through our checklist. It was, are you okay? Are you okay?
Help.
It was never, are you okay? Pause. Are you okay?
So
if I was on the street, I'd be like, are you okay? Are you okay? And then, like, no matter what they said, I'd be like, we need help. Because they couldn't answer quick enough.
And then you start blowing in her mouth.
And then I start making out with her.
She's like, I said, I'm fine. I don't need help.
You're going to make it.
Start pounding on her chest.
Okay, now, Jeremy, taking this poll another direction.
Okay.
Which you know I'm apt to do.
This show is always apt to go in directions we never expected.
Unexplored directions. A lady punches you in the face.
A lady? Why is everything violence here? We're sticking with the warehouse.
This is a very angry pollster.
Yeah.
He has a lot of teen angst. A lady punches you in the face. A teen did make these polls, by the way. A lady punches you in the face. You are most apt to. What do you do, Jeremy?
A lady punches me in the face? So I would still do the torso move, bringing her down.
You'd take her down with the torso, like a tackling dummy.
Yeah, the same way that I did the, yeah.
Okay.
I would not. I don't care what race you are and gender. I mean.
Well, gender doesn't matter because it's the question. If it was a lady, it's okay. A lady. But, okay, now, see, I would not ever do that. I would walk away. I would say, whoa, I would push her away. As the most I would do is say...
Shove her?
Push her away from me if she was attacking.
Hand push?
Yeah, more of the Heisman push.
Okay.
I would Heisman pose.
I'm sure you would execute that.
If a lady goes near me in a violent way, I immediately assume the Heisman pose.
I would say, are you okay? Are you okay? Help. And then I would put my mouth on hers. That would throw her off.
That's one way to handle
it. That's what she's not expecting.
Now, this surprised me in this poll. Now, this is a very scientific poll, Jeremy. 46% of respondents said they would hit her back, which is kind of surprising to me.
Huh.
I more would expect, maybe that by that they meant your version of just restraining her.
But think about this, Jeff. So was this poll asked to both men and women equally?
Yes.
So women...
No, it was yes question mark? I have no idea.
Women would probably say they would hit her
back. I have a question about cat fights we'll get to later.
So women would hit her back, so that's why half...
Well, this was for men. This was for... Oh, it was for men. It was for men.
You're such a... Don't point at your... You make stuff up. All right.
All right. 32% walk away. That's me. I walk
Someone
away.
Someone just hits you and you just turn your
does.
Back.
If a woman does, I say, you know what, miss, you cross the
you
line.
You don't even say anything?
I lecture her.
You just turn...
I immediately start lecturing her.
Do a 180.
I start instructing
Take her. Take her over your knee and give her a good whooping.
Here's what worries me. 22% said other.
Was there like a write-in section?
What does other mean?
Where you could write in what you would do?
Is it me or does others scare you?
So these were options. So is this like a multiple choice?
I think that there were so many other answers. They just put them all into other. But I would love to see what the others were really made of. Because that really frightens me what people might do other than walk away or hit them. Like there's a lot in between there.
Yeah,
which worries me about these men that answer this poll.
Grab an ice pick from behind the bar. Well, as I said, swatting her on her bottom, I think that would fall into the other column.
Okay, well, we'll chalk that up to other. Okay, well, a couple more. Jeremy, this is important. We got to get to these poll questions.
Okay, we got time, Jeff. We got 20 minutes.
Jeremy.
Jeff.
Your spouse takes a business trip with an attractive coworker.
Oh, boy.
Concerned? Question mark?
Now we're getting a little personal. Now we're getting a little personal here. Okay, I mean, obviously, I would trust her, so I don't think that I would have, I don't think that I would worry.
But
you always, I think you always have that in the back of your head, some kind of, I think she would feel the same way.
Yeah.
If I went on a business trip, I think she would trust me that I'm not going to do anything. And it's not that you're worried about your spouse, but you're kind of worried about the other person and what moves they might make.
I agree.
I think, again, reversing it so I can take myself out of the situation.
But if
I'm going on the business trip with some attractive woman, Jen might think like, oh, Jeremy's not going to try anything. But
we know better.
But if some attractive woman, if she's like relentlessly coming on to Jeremy because he is a good catch.
He's got this great radio show.
And she wants to get with him, which is a problem. I mean, she still trusts me, but what are these conniving women
doing? She's worried that how long can Jeremy keep this girl away because he's going to give it all he's got. But at some point, this girl might...
What if she slips something into my drink?
A Mickey.
Mickey. Exactly. You know, and then, you know, there's that kind of fear.
So you're saying eventually, what does this tell him? Actually, we'll skip this. This is probably a bad question.
Okay. What are the polls?
The answer is 19% said yes, they are worried.
Okay.
They'd be concerned. They are concerned. 27% said maybe a little. Now, what surprised me, this is actually refreshing. This is refreshing. This answer refreshed me. 54% said not at all. They're not worried at all. 54%.
Not a single bit.
Don't even worry about it.
That seems odd to me.
That does seem a little more, that seems kind of naive to me.
Again, you know, the problem with polls is they want to give the answers that you think, because that's what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say, no, I have no problem. Yeah. I'm comfortable in my relationship.
Everything is great.
Confidence in myself.
I'm great. I'm perfect. Everything's fine.
I'm good. Yeah. You're good. We're all good.
This poll's good.
How are you?
Okay. Well, I thought that was very 1950s, kind of that whole, oh, I'm not worried at all. That seems like a little naive to me.
Yeah, I don't trust it.
Okay. Well, a couple more. How important an issue, and Jeremy, we've talked about this a lot off the air. Okay. How important an issue is sexting to you?
Is sexting?
Yes.
How concerned am I?
How important is it?
Actually, that was actually number three. Last night when I couldn't fall asleep, I was thinking
sexting?
About vampires, radio show, and sexting.
So it is important to you.
I was concerned. I don't know what that means by important.
That was the way the poll question, Jeremy. I don't write these. You know that.
What was the question again? How important?
How important an issue is sexting?
How
to
important
you?
An issue?
Yes.
I don't. It's not very.
Okay.
Is that an option? Not very.
Well, let me give you the results. 46% said, you know what, Jeremy? They said it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I think I fall in that.
Okay. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Like,
just the issue is a big deal.
Okay.
Nothing with me. Just it's a big deal.
Okay.
27%, not a big deal. 25. So I'm putting you in the somewhere in between. 25%.
I'm in the 25%. I'm in the minority there.
Okay. A couple more. These are interesting.
Okay.
We keep saying that they will be. These are very interesting.
So this is hilarious. This show is great.
Jeremy, are you comfortable with partying with friends from work?
Yeah.
You're doing this like a game show host now, by the way. Are
yes.
you comfortable with
yes.
partying with friends from work?
Yes.
See, I'm
because,
not.
Because, see, I'm one of those guys where it's like, I don't know. Some people have a very distinct, like, separation between, you know, their work.
I do.
And
I never overlap.
But I have a pretty casual work environment. Work with younger people that are my age.
You sext each other.
We're always sexting. I think it depends on the type of job you're doing. It depends on...
But you yourself, I mean, we don't have to get theoretical here, but you yourself are comfortable with it.
I'm comfortable.
I am not.
Why not?
I just, you know, I like to keep... This is very awkward.
This goes back to your... I know.
I don't like to...
This goes back to your fear of spirits.
It goes back to my fear of spirits and going out on the weekends. I just like to keep that separate, and I just... When I leave work, I guess maybe if the people there were a little different, but I guess the way it's constructed now, I really like to leave that there. And I'm lucky that I have plenty of friends who have no work affiliation at all. I'd rather get away from work, not talk about it, and keep it separate. But I could see either way. But in this poll result...
You do not want me to
no,
give
go
my
ahead.
Word.
No, I'm sorry.
So like on something like Facebook, though, then do you have... No?
They're all hidden.
That's separate?
I go out proactively block them.
Okay. See, I think that's kind of the difference, too, because there's some people that kind of let their personal and work lives meld together. And to me, like, doing that or trying to focus on that too much, it gets very stressful.
It's not stressful. I do it every day.
I mean, if you're just open with everyone about everything.
I'm closed with everyone about
everything. Yeah, you are very close.
No, I keep it separate. It's like the two Georges. Remember Seinfeld?
Right.
He didn't want to intermix his relationship with his friends.
Yeah, you want to keep the pies of your life, the slices of pie separate.
Yep, absolutely. So 24% said yes, most of them. They're comfortable partying with them. 25% said not with any of them. That's where I fall. And then 47% said they're comfortable partying with a few of them. Which is the majority. So, and I can see, but keep in mind, I work for a company with only about 6 people.
Yeah.
So that's really, if I worked for a company with 30 or 40, I'm sure there'd be some people there I would hang out with and go comfortable with. But that's another problem with a small company. Once you get involved in that, you know, it's kind of a weird environment if you're hanging out with one or two guys, and then you got to really include everyone because there's only 5 of them.
Yeah. See, in that situation, then you have to be all in. If you're in like a 6-person company,
I'm all out.
You can't say, I'm going to be friends with half because I'm going to get wasted with half.
I take myself out of the mix. I'm above the proverbial fray.
Yeah. Yeah.
So interesting. But how many people do you work with now? Well, you're in the middle of a change.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Okay. Well, we'll deal with that next week.
Next week.
Jeremy.
Update next week.
We all know the movie Eat, Love, Pray.
Eat, Pray, Love.
Don't you eat the love and then you pray?
No, you, yeah.
Right now, Jeremy, yes. You would gain satisfaction from the following.
Satisfaction, Jeff?
Satisfaction. Okay. It's a math term that's just been invented.
Was this poll given by Scooby-Doo, Jeff?
People with trouble saying it with ours.
Satisfaction.
So you have eating, praying, loving. So right now, what would you get the most satisfaction from of those three in your life right now, today, September 26th?
Like this moment or this day?
Right now.
Probably praying. I feel like I need to get back in touch with my spiritual
with spirits
side.
Or spirits.
Spirits. That goes back to the drinking.
See, I like eating.
Yeah.
You put a good meal in front of me, guess who's going to be the happiest guy in town?
This guy?
This guy.
And I'm pointing my fingers at Jeff.
And I have two thumbs pointing at me as well.
Right. Jeff's pointing at himself too.
But I could see loving is very important in the long term. But today I'm really hungry.
That's why you're single, Jeff.
Exactly.
You place eating before loving.
And at some point my priorities need to change.
Yeah.
But right now I love a good steak.
Yeah.
Actually, steak and eggs is a great Sunday breakfast.
Oh, that is a good breakfast. We should do our show live from a brunch place.
Great poll about eat, pray, and love, and great mix by these really smart pollsters about breaking that down.
Right, goes back from violence to eating and praying and loving.
So 60% said loving, which we didn't pick. Neither one of us picked. But
again, people are going to pick what they think they should say.
Right. One more, Jeremy. We'll get this wrapped up here. But this is very interesting.
And the show is great, and everyone listens to it in Cleveland and beyond.
Jeremy, you'd think most failed marriages are probably either wrong from the start or become so after. So in other words, some marriages, and I think this is a great question. We've all been to weddings where you're like, oh, this will never work.
Right. Like that last one that you went to.
No, that's not true. That really isn't. No. There have been marriages, you know, weddings I've gone to, I'm like, oh, this will never work.
Right.
And then you wonder, so you have that wrong from the start. But then you have some that you feel like they just end up kind of deteriorating over time. So what would you say if you had to pick one of the two reasons most failed marriages are probably wrong from the start or become so later?
I would say that they are wrong from the start.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that there are some marriages, like this last one I went to, they're great people, they're a great couple, I know they're going to be fine. They're
right.
Just, but I have been to some in the years past where, you know, they're fighting on the wedding day, and you just going up to it, you know, you just know there's way too much tension and fighting.
Because I think the foundation needs to be strong, because over the course of, you know, 40 years... 50 years, obviously your looks are going to change, your job,
what?
Your personality. I'm sorry. Yes. Yep. It's all downhill from here, Jeff. No, so your looks are going to change, personalities, jobs, income. There's going to be so many different things that are going to change.
Yeah.
Your interests, personalities. So
you have to evolve together, and you might split.
But you have to evolve together. But if you have that foundation where you can kind of work with those changes, then you'll be okay.
And to me, that involves being best friends. If your spouse is legitimately your best friend,
right.
I think that's a great foundation to go with. But yeah, 73% said wrong from the start, which we kind of agree with. Have you been to those weddings where you've kind of wondered, you know, oh boy?
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Congratulations. You're in a cocoon.
I like to live in my bubble.
Wake up.
People are only happy.
Everyone's happy.
There's no divorce. Married.
What's divorce?
Yeah.
Can you get a divorce?
Nope.
It's 1940 in Jeremy's mind.
I know. There's steak and eggs every morning for breakfast.
That's where I should
and,
be.
And puppies and kittens fall from the sky.
Well, Jeremy, we have 12 minutes left. We have a lot to get to.
We actually have less, but...
Jeremy, there's 11 minutes left.
It's 11:48 Eastern.
We got a mailbag that's bustling, but I mean, is there anything else you want to cover?
Mailbag. Let's take a quick look at the rundown that we worked so hard on today.
Oh, your Modern Marvels, Jim. Really, we should get to that.
Modern Marvels! Theme song. All right, so this is the segment that everyone loves.
Refrigeration.
Where we talk about things in society, developments in society. You're just sitting back now. Jeff's like, I'm not participating in this segment.
Mic off.
These are things that are a part of modern society that just make you think like, wow, I can't believe I'm living in an era like this.
In an outhouse.
This is amazing. What?
Oh, in an outhouse.
Oh, that was back
then. Should we recap real quick what happened that week one, what you picked, what I picked?
Right. So week one, I picked indoor plumbing.
Right.
Where I said, oh, this is such a great modern marvel that I could not live without it.
Yeah.
Take away other things, but don't take away my indoor plumbing. And you kind of had a dual one.
Well, I've thought about that, Jeremy, extensively over the past 2 weeks. It's really been the number one thing in my mind. I'm going to go with refrigeration.
Refrigeration over indoor plumbing.
What is refrigeration?
That's keeping things cold in an ice box.
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
So this week on Modern Marvels, which I think is a TV show too, so we kind of stole that.
Whatever it is, it's great.
Screw them. My Modern Marvel, I thought about that we were going to have the segment, but I really didn't pick a Modern Marvel.
That's good. Now we're on the same page, as I haven't either.
Yeah. So I would say Cars.
Telephone.
All right. That's Modern Marvels for this week.
Time for the mailbag.
Mailbag.
Jeremy, this mailbag is just, I mean,
Jeff, have you heard of the sudden surge of shark attacks in Phoenix?
You know what? That's no one's talking about that.
No one's talking about it.
Mailbag time.
Mailbag.
Jeremy, people write us every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable the volume of mail we get.
HateMail@RadioShowOnline.com is the way that you can send us an email. And if we, as always, if we read your letter on the air, you get a car. Any car on
the
street.
You get a car. If you're over here at the Tremont Attic, we will get you into a car.
Well, we won't get you in.
We'll point out the car. We're gonna,
and you have to get in yourself.
We're going
to
leave you alone.
Okay.
Dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, my girlfriend spends way too much money. And
lots of relationships. You know, people come to us for relationships.
Well, we told them from the beginning that's our
specialties. Yeah.
My girlfriend spends way too much money and has rung up, get this, Jeremy,
uh-huh,
$7,000 in credit card debt, mostly from her, quote, shopping sprees, unquote.
Hmm.
What should I do? This is from Jay in Sagamore Hills.
I think the same thing that I said to the poll question. Grab her by the torso and bring her down to the ground.
I say mace her.
Mace her. Get out your mace keychain and your mace. Or your,
anytime she comes home with a shopping bag, you taser or mace her.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me.
Seriously, you should mace her.
next question. I'm sorry, you said this is girlfriend?
Yes, Jay in Sagamore Hills, Jeremy.
You know, that's something, and again, this goes back to the foundational issues of a relationship.
It does.
I think you're either a spender or a saver, and that's something that's probably you can work on. But if you want this relationship to move forward, you don't want to saddle yourself to this credit card debt. We don't know the ages of these people, but if they're young, I mean, if they're in their 20s, you already have your $7,000 in credit card shopping related debt. It's a bad sign. Now he probably doesn't have. I mean, it's probably not affecting him now though.
No, but I think he's just looking forward. You know, this is obviously someone he might spend the rest of his life with, and he's worried. You know, what do I do? But I think you got to address it up front. You got to be disciplined. You got to have a budget. I think you got to budget out your income, and you've got to pay it off as quick as you can, and just move on. I mean, the more it lingers, the worse it'll get.
Yeah, you can. We are both two people that budget, as you can tell by the quality of our broadcasts.
Yeah, we have money.
We're very
to go
budgeted
around.
Minded.
Dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, I work. This is
going to
be hard.
Do you want me to read this one? Why do you always have such a problem reading our letters? They're hilarious to you. Dear Radio Show Jeff and Jeremy, I recently lost my leg in a car accident. Ha 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 ha. Okay. Dear Radio Show Jeff and Jeremy, I work children's parties as a clown and also drive an ice cream truck. And at first he was going to sign his name, but then he wanted to add on more. Sometimes... Gosh darn, speaking of audio issues, I'm sorry, listeners. Sometimes people judge me, and I don't feel good about myself. But listening to your show makes me feel good for at least 1 hour a week. From Sal in Cuyahoga Falls.
You know what, Sal, we appreciate that. We all have jobs we may not like.
Yeah.
But to know that you do what you do for a living and that we make you feel good for 1 hour a week. I mean, Jeremy, I don't want to speak for you, but... You know what, Sal? Keep doing what you're doing, man. Don't let them get you down. You know, keep entertaining those kids.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably getting to his off season now because it's getting a little colder.
Yeah.
Probably not as many ice cream truck jobs.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I think he should stick with it. Good going, Sal. Keep fighting the good fight, and we're here for you. We're
Sal,
glad
yeah,
you enjoyed
Sal.
It.
Hey, listen, keep listening. We're gonna be with you, and keep in touch.
Is that it?
There's one more.
Okay.
Dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy.
Dear Radio Show Jeff and Jeremy. Jeff and Jeremy. You hand this to me again. All right. I am a single teen mom. Why is this so hilarious to you, Jeff? I am a single teen mom and just wanted you both to know how much I enjoy your show. For an hour a week, I am able to escape the trials and tribulations of teenage parenthood with some great laughs with both of you. Thanks for being so great. From Anne in Berea.
And you know what? if there's anything we try and do, it's try and help teenage parents relax for an hour a week, because we know how tough that can be.
I was actually watching the show Teen Mom on MTV.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday. Yes, I DVR that as well. But yeah, these teen moms, they go through a lot. So.
And we're there for them, apparently.
We are there for them. So,
see, what,
so
what I love about the mailbag is we get these letters, and sometimes I wonder, you know, am I doing the right thing with this radio show? Should I be hanging out with Jeremy all this time?
Right.
I question everything. But when I get these letters.
Makes you feel good.
From these teen parents and the people with the ice cream trucks. And this is why we're doing this, Jeremy.
It is why. All right, Jeff.
And also, we want to get paid someday, but we'll talk about that later.
All right. That's next week. Hey, thanks for listening live. You can listen live every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, radioshowonline.com, or you can download the podcast. But if you're listening to this, you probably already know that.
Yes.
So until next week. Take care of yourselves.
Thanks for being such great fans.
And each other.